Are you ready? Yeah, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Hello, friends. Welcome in once again to the newest edition, the newest installment of Joe Kelly's Van Chronicles, coming to you live from the intersection of State Street and Louise Avenue, here on the west side of the great city known as Nashville, Tennessee. It's a good time. Song, I think I'm just going to play the D-Generation X theme from the old 1997, probably through like 2000 wrestling era. Oh, good times, those late 90s wrestling formed who I am as a person. I know that much, that wrestling raised me more than anything else. Might be why I'm so messed up, because it was during the Attitude Era. People remember like old wrestling as like good guys and bad guys, but I got into wrestling in like late, kind of like mid-1997. So at this point, WCW is kind of building some steam with the NWO, which was a group of heels, a group of bad guys. It was making it a little bit edgier, so then WWF at the time, which is now WWE, had to compete with that, so they launched what is now known as the Attitude Era, which kind of gave Stone Cold Steve Austin his big push into superstardom and fame, because then all of a sudden, a guy's drinking beer and swearing and flipping the bird, which some people will say was stolen from Sandman and ECW. ECW was a different promotion. Not as big, but I guess it was like the three biggest at the time was like WCW, WWF, and then ECW. But that was kind of like the redheaded stepchild. Real grungy, real like low production, but it was real fun. I think they had a run on TNN for a little bit before it became Spike TV. I think they did that. I remember watching it. I was staying the night. I was like in sixth grade maybe, something like that. And I was staying at my buddy's house and we saw that come on. And it came on after Roller Derby. And they had these ladies roller derby, and there was one lady wearing like a gold suit, and a little bit of her areola slipped out on TNN. And I remember my buddy and I thinking that was real cool. And then all of a sudden, people came on and were hitting each other with bats and barbed wire and stuff. And that was pretty neat, too. It just came with the times. Like, things were just grungy. And, you know, Human Sacrifice, The Undertaker, who's one of my favorites. He started doing this thing called the Ministry of Darkness, which is a stable, which is a group of people, and he was the leader of it. And it was real demonic and sort of satanic, and he was, like, hanging people up on his symbol, like, crucifying them. He did it to, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin. He abducted Stephanie McMahon, who was the daughter of Vince McMahon, the owner of the WWF at the time, abducted her and was going to, like, force her into, like, marriage and stuff like that. And then Triple H had sex with a corpse. It was real, you know, that's the stuff that raised me. It made me the person I am. So I'm not, you know, I can't be held at fault, you know. And I think I liked WCW better, but in hindsight, like the storylines, just like WWF was like going, like, we're going to push this hard. The writers on there were tweaked, but it worked out really well. WCW was never that sort of raunchiness, I guess might be the word for it. It was just like the battle of good versus evil over there, except the bad guys were a little bit cooler. They were spray painting stuff, and Hulk Hogan just ruined everything, though. Don't care for Hulk Hogan as a wrestler. I mean, he was good for what he did, like, back in his day in the 70s and the 80s and shit like that. But once the 90s came around, it was just like beating a dead horse, you know? Just looking a dead horse in the rear. And, I don't know. He seems very into himself, and I think that sort of became his goal instead of like the wrestling, because like the cruiserweight division, the lighter wrestlers in WCW put on some of the best matches, like Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. They were just so quick, and everything was so fluid and smooth. Oh, those were some great matches, but they never got to the biggest of pushes in WCW, and then they went on to WWE to become world champions, you know? So, to say they couldn't sell tickets, I don't know. Maybe they weren't ready. Maybe they were too young then. But Good times, wrestling. I don't know why I started talking about that, because that is the theme, because that was the theme song I started to play. Loved wrestling. It was so good. It's fun to kind of, because I went back to my mom's house in Flint, Michigan over Christmas time, and I found these old, like, plastic wrestling belts in my room, and one of them was the Stone Cold Smoking Skull belt, which was a rare thing. You know, it didn't come along until Stone Cold became the champ. Then he changed everything. He's like, I'm going to get a badass belt and stuff and ride a four-wheeler to the ring. So I had one of those, so I brought it back and kind of incorporated it into the open mic that I host over at Wilburn Street Tavern every Tuesday. We start at 11, sign-up begins at 10:15. Come on out, tell some jokes, just hang out. It's a great time. But it really means nothing. It's just the Red Eye Comedy Championship, and there's no real way to win it other than just showing up and me going, hey, you can have this, and the reward is nothing. You get to do 4 minutes next week. The reward is you get to go up when you want to. It's like a Money in the Bank thing. Money in the Bank's a briefcase. You climb a ladder, you get the briefcase, then you can cash it in for a world title shot whenever you feel like. And this is a belt that you get for no reason, and you get to cash it in sometime during the open mic. You can't do it whenever you want because somebody else needs to win the belt. We got to change every week unless we get that repeat champ, you know, build a monster out of somebody. We sort of did with DJ Buckley. He became a heel, and then he's kind of lost his mind, started taking off his shirt and wearing the belt around because he's a skinny little guy, so he can fit into a child's belt, and just acting like a nut. And then guess what? Broke his foot, snapped his ankle, broke some part of his leg. So I think that's like, you know, probably had it coming to him. Acting like a dickhead winning a fake championship belt. You deserve a broken leg. I'm just kidding. He's a good guy. Love him to death. Very good. We'll talk about van shit at some point in time. Got some other stuff on my mind. Ranted a little bit about wrestling. I've been thinking about people using the word sorry a whole lot because I feel like it doesn't mean anything anymore. Because the idea of being, if you're really sorry about something, you would change your actions. But most people aren't that sorry. They just say it as like, this makes whatever I'm going to do excusable. People will say sorry before they even do something. They go, I know this is going to be shitty. Sorry, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's like, then you're not sorry. If you were sorry, you really wouldn't do the thing that you're going to be sorry about. You're already sorry before you did it, and then you still do it anyway. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just a waste of a word. It's become an easy excuse for people to act real shitty and not have it mean anything. Because even people saying it, like, I don't think you should really have to say the word sorry, like, ever. Because if you feel bad about something that you did or you're doing, you would change your behavior. Like, the action of changing would prove that you're sorry. But just saying it, it's just like something that you feel like people want to hear. And they'll be okay with how you act because you're like, oh, I feel bad about it. But you don't really feel bad, or else you wouldn't do it, you know? It's just obnoxious. You cut off into like a conversation. It's like, oh, I'm sorry I cut off your conversation. But anyway, blah, 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 blah. So you're not really sorry if you're not going to let me finish what I was going to say. You're just assuming what you have to say is more important because you saw a video of a flapjack that looked like a character from fucking Bonanza or something, you know? You're fucking awful. Not saying that, but that's an awful thing to do. It's just real shitty. And saying sorry doesn't make anything better. I feel like it's become a real, it's almost a problem. See, everyone's so arrogant and just like, it's a weird country we live in. Everyone's up their own butt most of the time. And just going, sorry. No, you're not. What are you sorry about? Second of all, if you're sorry, don't do change, you know? Don't be sorry for my sake. It's got nothing to do with me. You saying sorry isn't going to make me feel better if you hurt my feelings. It's like, oh, you feel bad about hurting my feelings. Well, you still hurt my feelings. Like, I feel like that's when people use it a lot, if they feel like they hurt somebody else. And it's like, the goal isn't like, I'm not sorry to make you feel better. Like, sorry, you should feel, people are like, oh, feel sorry for yourself. And it's like, well, yeah, if you feel bad about something, then you should feel sorry. And that is feeling sorry for yourself. And it's like, I don't know, this doesn't make any sense anymore. Just change your fucking shitty behavior. That's the whole point. Quit trying to tell me you're sorry. Everybody quit telling each other that you're sorry. If you hurt somebody's feelings, you fucking hurt their feelings, okay? Don't be sorry. Well, be sorry. But don't tell them you're sorry. Change what the fucking shitty thing you did that hurt somebody's feeling was. Instead of just going, sorry, and then repeating the same behavior. And I've done it too. I've been a piece of shit too. I get it. And I'm using piece of shit, and it's not, people would think that might sound a little bit heavy or be aggressive. I have a limited vocabulary, people. Okay? I'm not trying to be super aggressive or vulgar with you. That's just what I say. Being a piece of shit. You know, sometimes you gotta fuck off. I say fuck off, and it doesn't mean it's not a mean thing. It's like, you better fuck off, buddy. It's not really that aggressive. You know, sometimes everybody, you gotta fuck off. You know, fuck off. Get out of here. Get out of here is, I feel like that's even worse. But just fuck off, man. Get out of my face for a minute. You gotta fuck off. Give me some space. Need some time to recruit. Get my damn head together. Think about shit. It's all sorts of fun stuff. Ah, I feel better. I feel better about that. Maybe, you know, sometimes you just gotta yell and let a little aggression out, and sometimes it's by yourself. And I feel like because I'm doing it into a microphone, I feel like it's more productive than just like driving down the street and yelling to myself. Because I've done that too, and that helps too. Sometimes you feel better. But you know, I feel like I'm with somebody, even though I'm not. I'm with these people over here getting in their nice white truck. Wonder what they're up to. I'm sure they wonder what I'm up to with this little... What's that glowing little red light in that front seat of that van doing? It's recording the soundtrack of my demise, I guess. That's so fun. Did some comedy, too. I went over to Kentucky. No, what the fuck am I saying? Get your shit together. Went to Memphis last week, about a week ago, a little over a week ago. Went down there with some friends, Mary J. Berger and Josh Lewis and Ben Sawyer. Told some jokes at the Memphis Gay and Lesbian Community Center. It was fun. It was a good time. Lewis fucking destroyed. He did so well. Everybody did well. I did okay. I feel like I did okay. I've been feeling like I've done okay a lot. And I feel like that's not a good place to be right now. I've just been fucking sort of out of it. Like last night, I went to this place called High Five over off West Trinity. Ron Mosley hosts it. It's a cool room. It's a black room. It's a predominantly black audience. And Josh Wagner and Ron did good. Brad Sativa fucking did good too. They put me up last. And I got fucking shook, man. As soon as I did the first joke and it didn't hit, I got fucking shook. And I like retreated inside myself and just sort of panicked. And started like... just shuffling up my set. I'm like, I'm slinging. I'm like, I got to get him on my side. I got to get him on my side. Like, I just felt fucking intimidated and just fucking just ate a big old shit burger. Just fucking just ate a dick and just got all fucking panicked and scared. And I was like, why did I do that? It's like, oh, it's a black group. It's like, who gives a shit? It fucking shook me. And it really bugs me that it did. It's like, oh, man, they just... fucking the first one, and there aren't even that many people. It was snowing last night, but Wagner went up at Crush, and then Brad would, and it's like, I can't make any excuses. I could make all the excuses in the world, but the truth is, I hit that first joke. I was like, these are gonna be good, and it didn't hit, and I fucking just panicked, like I was, like, fucking amateur hour, you know? Like, I've never done stand-up before, where I've never bombed in front of people before, and I started doing everything I could to not bomb. And it just was fucking pathetic. I feel gross about it. I feel real fucking gross about it. It's like I gotta change up some shit, man. I feel fucking gross and weak and just, ugh. Makes me feel dirty. I just got so scared and just acted like a little bitch and punked out. And I fucking hate it. It bugs me so much. So, well, get back on the horse and go do it again. You know, that's what I have to do. I got to do something different. I felt in a weird funk lately, and I quit the job. I don't know if that fucking sound came over, but that was me moistening the top of my mouth. Sounded so gross. But quitting my job, it's been fucking with me. So it's like, oh, I'll take this one week and just kind of take it easy, hang out, do whatever. And it's like now that week has become like a week and a half. And like kind of been eating shitty And the good thing about working at the restaurant was walking like 5-6 miles a day. It feels good. And it's cold, so I'm not getting outside. And it's like I have a gym membership, but I'm just not going to the gym. I hate going to the gym. I'd rather be outside when it was warm for the day. I walked around a whole bunch. I rode my skateboard and shit. I loved it. But I've just been kind of being lazy, smoking a whole bunch of cigarettes again, making my teeth fucking hurt. It's not good. None of it's good. And it's like, why won't I change that then? Because I'm not sorry, maybe. Maybe because I'm not sorry. Maybe I should be sorry. So I change my fucking shitty habits. Get my mind back into gear. Just all over the place. Real scatterbrained right now. Sort of panicky with everything in life. Don't know what's going on. Don't think I'm going to move anytime soon. But sometimes I feel like I need to. It's like I'm trying to set up some kind of tour. We're going to do the Broken Record Show for the second year in a row here in Nashville. It's cool. It's becoming like a little mini festival for the local comics around town, you know. And who knows who might stop in, you know. We had Hannibal Buress stop in last year, and Rory Scovel, Nate Bargatze, all sorts of good people stopped in. It was fantastic. We're kind of building into that around town, and then maybe I could try and get like a tour going, like a 2-3 week run after that. I just got to get out of town. I got to figure out a way to make some money. I got some stickers now. Got stickers. In case anybody wants to give me $2 for a sticker, they just say utilize shrooms, and they have a little, it's a great thing that a gentleman named Bryce Damath drew. And if you need anything done, graphics or drawing, the dude's phenomenal. But he drew a little mushroom, like a mushroom spaceship. A mushroom UFO abducting like a little hippie guy. It just says utilize shrooms, which is my Twitter handle and Instagram thing. So I'm going to work on that sort of thing and just try and figure out a way to make some money from doing comedy. I got to get out of this funk. I've just kind of been bored, and I'm not mixing it up enough. I'm not traveling enough. I'm not making my own life interesting. I've been lazy, you know. I should be sleeping in this icebox that's a van, but I've been hanging out with my lady instead. You know, it's more comfortable, which fucks with me. Being comfortable is not, it's not for me. It makes me real lazy, and that makes me real bored and real upset and annoyed with myself, and then that projects onto everything else. So I'm going to have to make some changes, do a little winter vanning, if you will. That'll be the van topic for today, I suppose. I kind of took a note down, and I would like to, I'm going to check over it real quick, because it's about being in the van in the wintertime. It's not so bad. God damn it, Joe. Okay, yeah, there we go. It's not so bad. I first moved into the van in February of 2015, so it was still wintertime, and it was cold, but you could figure out ways to stay warm. There was one night it got real cold, so I just ended up getting a hotel room. But I've always had friends that have offered me places to stay, like, just in case, you know. It's like, oh, if it gets hot or it gets cold, you always have a place. And I've never really, there's been a couple of times where I've jumped on the opportunity, but I just don't want to inconvenience anybody. So I kind of just try and stick it out and make it work. It's like, this is my decision, you know, I'll kind of figure it out. But it also makes me think, like, about other homeless people in the winter. Like, homelessness, I feel like, is looked at like these people have wound up in this place. Like, they've gotten themselves into this situation to where, you know, they're having to sell newspapers on the street and they are having a place to stay. But I've thought about that, and it's like, I think it's more than just, like, poor decision-making. Like, oh, these people fucked up, they didn't go to college, whatever. Because there's something about, like, I'm sort of in that situation, but I have friends and I have family. Like, if shit really hit the fan and I fucked up hard, I could always go back to Michigan, you know. I always got like my mom or my dad. So what is it about, like, these people? They don't have anybody. They don't have like anybody in their lives that can, like, you can come stay with me, you know. You can come back home and live with your parents or your brother or your sister or your aunt or your uncle or whoever. It's like, why don't these people have anybody in their life? Like, what has happened to them that they don't have, like, a family, even an extended family, meaning friends? Like, you don't have any place to stay. So I don't think, like, homelessness might be a bigger problem than just not having a place to stay. You know, there might be a psychological thing to it, that where they've ended up there. They have real poor communication skills or something like that. But it doesn't seem like it. Most of, maybe it's like drug problems too, you know. But some of the people that you see, like, because people who are selling newspapers on the street here in Nashville, I feel like there might be some differences between them other than like other homeless people who just wander around who don't do anything or just trying, you know, they might have drug habits or something like that, which could be why they don't have any friends and family, is because, you know, they stole shit to try and get drugs. But again, it's like a psychological thing. It's addiction. You know, the substance contributes to it, for sure. But I think it's a mental thing, addiction, more than it is necessarily a physical, you know. Because whether or not, for me, it's like cigarettes right now, but it's anything else in my life, you know. If I have enough weed, I'll smoke it, make it a bad habit. If I have too much food around, I'll eat it, I'll make it a bad habit. If there's too much booze around, I'll drink it, I'll make it a bad habit. It's just something I do. I'm just fucked up, you know. And maybe it's fortunate enough to where it's not becoming a big problem in my life, other than the fact my teeth fucking hurt or fucking bugging me from smoking. And the fact that you act like an asshole sometimes when you drink booze, you know. Or the fact that weed's an expensive habit. So those things weigh on me too. Maybe I'm finding stuff out about myself here that I didn't realize. Or maybe I did it, but it's just, if you say it out loud, it registers more. And the fact that I'm saying it to an unknown amount of people. Right now it's nobody. Right now it's just all personal. But this will be the fourth episode I'm going to do. So ideally I will get these all launched, guys. You'll be listening to this much later in time, but this is the fourth episode. This will be the episode that launches this whole podcast. And I'm excited about that. That makes me feel good. And maybe nothing will come of it. Maybe 20 people will listen to it. But if they do, I think that's cool. I think I'm going to keep this one relatively short, too. I got out what I needed. Living in a van in the winter is not so bad if you got friends and family. That's the van talk for this one. It doesn't always have to be about van shit. Sometimes I got other stuff on my mind. And I feel like that's okay, you know? If you're living in a van and you're listening to this, you're doing okay. And if you need a place to stay, you come find me. I'll get you a place to stay. You can stay in my van. We'll swap vans for the night, just to mix it up, you know? You can make love on my van bed. I'll let you do that. I was almost going to say no. My first initial thought was, like, you can stay here, but no lovemaking. And you know what? I don't want to be that type of guy. I want to be a better person than that. If you ever want to stay in my van, and you want to get some strange up in here, you can do that. I'm okay with it. A strange, for those of you who don't know, is maybe like a loose lady, a stranger's vagina, or a stranger pecker. I'm not gonna limit this to men. If you're a lady and you want to stay in my van, you can. I'll let you do it. You can't stay with me. I got my lady, and I'm going to do that. But you can stay in here. You want to get a sweet old hog up in here, go for a ride, you can do that. If you break anything on my bed, you do have to replace the wood and the screws, and you're going to have to let me charge my drill at your house. That's the only three things. If you want to go for a ride, a wild ride on some buck, you do that. You can. I won't even charge. I won't even ARB this shit. Won't do it. Maybe I should start a new thing where people, you want to experience the Nashville experience? Why don't you pay me money and you could sleep in my van for a night? That could be a real good idea. I might start marketing that. This might be the launch. This podcast might be the launch of something more than I expected. I think I got a business idea. And we're it's going to be out there. It's going to be out there on the internet. It's going to be all great. I appreciate you guys checking it out. I'll try to keep it interesting for you. Appreciate your time. Follow me on Instagram, on Twitter, at Utilize Shrooms. You can hit me up on Facebook. You can email me. My website is joekelly.com. Excuse me. My website is joekellycomedy.com. It's K-E-L-L-E-Y. Ideally, you're going to get the podcast there. I'm also keeping like a journal thing there. There's some stand-up videos and other bullshit you could check out. And there's the shows. You keep up on the shows where I'm going to be hopping around telling jokes. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy your life. Be nice. Let somebody stay at your house. Let a stranger stay at your house. Someone you don't know. Someone who needs a place to stay. Goodbye, everybody.